I guess Chris Johnson has found himself in a Joe Exotic situation, right? Chris Johnson, the news today. I don't know if it's the biggest news of the day, but Chris Johnson facing some accusations that he hired two hitmen.
Sometimes you just got to shoot a guy, you know?
Well, or pay someone to shoot a guy, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you get in a situation and you need somebody murdered and you don't want to do it yourself, then you just kind of, you know, you gotta give up some money to someone and let them do it.
TMZ, the first to report it, but former NFL running back, former New York Jet and Arizona Cardinal, Chris Johnson is accused of paying a suspected gang member for allegedly killing two men who shot him and killed his friend in 2015. So I guess I had that wrong. I said he paid two men, but he paid one man to kill two men. He has not been charged of a crime yet, but prosecutors believe he paid a noted Florida gang member to kill the suspected gunmen. Johnson was shot in the shoulder in a drive-by in 2015. His boy that was driving him died after being shot in the head.
Isn't it wild that that stuff's still going on?
Gangs?
Yeah.
Not really.
I mean, to me, it's
just... You think gangs are supposed to be over just because it's 2020?
Yeah, it's 2020. I feel like gangs are kind of a thing of the past, but they're not. They're still active. What is your power ranking of gangs?
I'm not doing that. I don't want with the way people are listening every time we talk about them. I'm just not gonna bother with that because I don't want any Bloods or any Crips coming up to me.
How many legit gang members do you think we have in the audience?
Legit gang members?
Like,
I don't know.
Like guys that are members of gangs that listen to the show.
I don't know.
Or girls, for that matter. Guys or girls. There's a girl gang.
12?
You think so?
Yeah,
you think
12.
There's that many gang members?
Maybe 15.
I bet they like me more than they like you.
I bet they don't, actually.
I bet the gang members side with me on
I
most things.
I bet they
things.
Don't.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's true?
Yeah, like if you polled 12 gang members that listen to the show, I think they'd prefer
that's
me.
That's 100% incorrect.
All the businessmen and normal people prefer you. All the guys like
that's
flying first
true.
Class on airplanes.
The
majority prefer you. That's I'll give you the majority. I know you'll be upset. But
I don't
the gang
need the majority.
Members, I think
the gang members don't like you.
I think they would like
no.
me.
No, you think they listen
me.
To the Rolling Stones, bro?
Well, now see, now we're thinking of different gang members. You're labeling
I'm
all gang members as one certain type of gang member.
No, whoa,
there's
whoa,
gang
whoa,
members
no, I'm
of
not.
All different kinds.
No, I'm not. I'm just asking if
there's
you think.
Yeah,
I'm asking if you think gangs are rolling around listening to Rolling Stones.
Some of them, yeah. Some of them probably.
You think
are.
So? You think, you think they watch Ted?
How do you? What
you think they watch Ted?
Well, what kind of gang members are you?
I haven't heard many Rolling Stones songs.
What are your gang members listening to?
Things about your friends. Maybe Joe Cocker.
With a little help from my friends?
Yeah, maybe.
Now, what gang members are you talking about?
People that get by with help from their friends.
I think you're trying to label a certain
gang. Whoa.
You're saying that they listen to a certain kind of music. I think gang members listen to all different kinds of music.
So quick to throw out those bars.
You started it.
I'm saying what songs do the Rolling Stones have about doing hood rat stuff with your friends?
I don't know, but I'm saying gang members listen to all different kinds of music.
I don't
There's
think
probably
so.
Gang members that like Florida Georgia Line for
I
that
I
matter.
I don't think that's accurate.
I think there probably are.
I think
I mean, they may not be the best gang members, but
they
probably...
I think people in gangs listen to stuff about doing stuff with your friends.
There's not a single group of gang members listening to Joe Cocker with a little help from my friends.
Why not?
Because Joe Cocker's lame.
What do you think they're doing in the... When they're getting ready to go do gang activities.
You don't think
activities.
There's any gangs that listen to Gimme Shelter? That's a fire you up kind of song.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. For some. Not for everyone, but for some. Yeah. That's a going into battle song.
Okay.
They play it before every national championship.
I would just like to think the gang members like me more than you.
Depends on the gang member. I would say the Italian gang members prefer me.
Are they gangs or are they in the mafia?
Well, that's a, I mean.
Would you consider the mafia a gang?
Yeah.
They call themselves families.
Oh, well, family. I mean, it's all.
I mean, we're just talking about clubhouses now, like people in clubs? Because I got the FFA on deck.
Well, that's a whole
different conversation. The FFA gang, the FFA gang, they're riding in my corner. The Future Farmers of America.
I got the NBA.
Who are they?
The Morbidly Obese Americans. That would be the MOA, actually.
Do you think they like you? I feel like the morbidly obese people probably hate all the other obese people. Just judging from...
I am pretty rude to the obese community.
Yeah, judging from the things you say, I would say they probably side more with me as well.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not likable.
You're likable until... Everyone likes you until you got the gun pointed at them. And at some point, you will turn on everyone.
That's not true.
That is accurate, and you're smiling because you know it's true.
When have I ever?
You have no allies one? Because you just eventually take out everybody.
I don't think that's.
I feel like that's pretty accurate.
You're saying I'm a snake in the grass.
I'm not even saying you're that. Saying I think you're an equal opportunist. I think you're an equal opportunist. I'm not saying you're a snake in the grass.
You're saying I have little loyalty. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not even saying anything about loyalty.
That's why you call me Littlefinger.
Well.
Little loyalty.
I think you're. I think you're flexible.
Yet I show up here every day by your side, and you say I have little loyalty. Well, not every day, but you know, 98% of
days. You're here 98% of the time.
98% of days. I'm
excluding
here
weekends, obviously.
Well, of course, but who's here on weekends?
Football season. I am.
I did a couple of those.
You did some pregame stuff and some Fontaine.
That pregame
reactions.
Show was awful. That was so hard to do. Not the show was. Well, the show might have been awful. I don't know. But it was just a big pain trying to do that show. Just trying to get everything set up, especially for those big games like Florida and Alabama. Like, we just didn't have the capability. There was just so many people in one area.
Yeah.
You know.
No, it's tough.
So I let Rick do it this year. Of course, they got it a lot easier. They didn't have to go through the battle like me and Brandon did.
Sure.
They got to do half of them from the studio. So, anyway, where
about Chris Johnson, former New York Jet and Arizona Cardinal.
I thought he played for one more team. I can't.
He's former
can't
New York
put my
Jet,
finger on it.
Former New York Jet and former Arizona Cardinal. While the Jets and Cardinals have players out here allegedly hiring hitmen, nice to know my Titans are in the news for former Titan. Dr. Myron Roll out here trying to save the world with the coronavirus treatment.
Myron Roll's the doctor?
Yeah. You don't remember that story like from when he was at Florida State, like the Oxford thing? He went to Oxford. He's like an Oxford student.
The Oxford University in England?
Yeah.
Really? That's like their Harvard.
Yeah.
Or maybe even better than Harvard.
No, he was an Oxford recipient. After he got drafted by the Titans and I think went through a preseason, but then he ultimately became a doctor instead.
What do you think it would be like that? Be like to go to a school like that?
Former Titan out here trying to save the world, just for the record.
Yeah.
What do I think it'd be like to go to a school like that? Hard?
Like Harvard or Oxford or something? Because, you know, they let Tough. Some unique people in.
Yeah.
Like, you don't always have to be just super smart. Like, what if they let you in for, like, your personality?
Yeah. Like, hey, you bring something new to the table here. Yeah. I'd like to see how you... survive and thrive in this environment.
But what
there's
would that...
There's more potential here, and you excel in other areas.
Do you think you could excel there?
No. I'm not smart enough at the stuff you have to be smart at. I mean, I'm not smart enough at anything, probably, to go to that type of school.
Do you have to be like...
I mean, I like to think I'm a... I like to think my... You know, I didn't feel like I was very good at it when I was younger, but I feel like I've gotten a lot better at, like, critical thinking. I think I can critically think pretty okay.
Yeah.
See different sides...
They always say math helps with that.
Think things through. I think I'm pretty good at that. But, no, I couldn't do any of the science, any of the math.
My pre-cal teacher used to always tell us when we asked him, why do we have to do this? Because we'll never have to use it. You know, the age-old question.
Like, basically, it's like a teach you how to think.
He said, yeah. He said, it's not about the math. It's about teaching you how to think.
There might be something to that.
Probably.
Following steps and...
Yeah. Clearly didn't work, as me and my buddy Mo from back home were playing Angry Birds in the back of the room.
Yeah, you should have been paying attention.
We left our phones on loud. So, like, while he was teaching the pre-cal lesson,
that's rude.
You would just hear, caw, caw.
That's
and
rude.
We'd be shooting the birds.
I had teachers that were like, if you're going to be disruptive, if you're not going to pay attention, at least don't be disruptive. That's what they said. Yeah. So you were just not paying attention and being disruptive. You can't do that.
He's like, 17 goes into 344, and you carry this number, and then, caw, caw. Yeah. You know, when you did a good one, the birds would kind of cheer. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so.
No, actually, I only played Angry Bird a couple times, probably.
Wow, you missed out. You remember Temple Run?
I was good at Temple Run.
I love Temple Run.
Temple Run, I would have put my Temple Run skills up against almost anybody's. I was really good at that.
Yeah.
I was really good at Temple Run. I don't like to overstate my skills and things too often, but Temple Run, I was really good at Temple Run.
That was
Run.
Your thing, huh?
Yeah.
It was fun.
It was.
I like doing that.
It was.
Can you still get that? Can you?
I'm sure you can.
I imagine they still have it. I'm going to go download it. That'll give me something to do.
I'd rather you not during the show.
Give me something to do during the show.
Yeah, I'd rather you not. Wait till 3.
I'll wait till the commercial.
By the time it gets downloaded and you get signed up, it'll be just in time to come back.
I'll just play during breaks.
Okay. So Chris Johnson, huh?
Yeah, hiring hitman, huh?
It's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. If you're a gang member listening to the show, please either text or DM if you need anonymity. If you need anonymity, DM us.
And also, try to do things for the greater good.
Some gangs
do. That's usually what a lot do, yeah. They're actually like community stuff. Yeah.
I know.
A lot of them aren't as violent now.
I know. They get kind of a bad rap for being, you know, I guess, anti-law. But
yeah.
But
they're
a lot
helping
of them,
their own people, usually.
A lot of them do good things,
I think. Did you see that thing from the Brazilian gang member during the Brazilian gang during the first outbreak of corona? They basically put out a memo. It's like, if the government's not going to keep you indoors, we are going to shoot anybody who we see out in the streets.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes they have
to. It's basically like, if the government won't do it, organized crime will. I don't know if that ended up being debunked as fake or not, but it went around, and it fooled me if it was. They're like, hey, well, we're going to take care of the community.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be an interesting life?
Being a gang?
Yeah. I don't think I could do it.
You don't have the heart.
I'd always be worried. Well, I wouldn't have the loyalty. I'd get whacked. I would do something wrong, and they would whack me in the street. Seems like an interesting life, though.
Okay.
Shout out to all our gang members in the audience.
Yeah, shout out to them. Yeah, like I said, DM us, email us. Tweet us. Let us know which one you prefer out of me and Cody. We're running a survey here.
We're inclusive to all.
Sure.
By the way, all gangs and people for that matter. You know, just because you're in a gang doesn't mean we don't like you. I just want you guys to know that.
Who knows what led to that?
Yeah.
Maybe you need a big brother to have your back.
Yeah. I don't think they need us to have their back. I don't know.
Well, not us, but I'm saying the gang. That's usually what people get in the gang. They need friends and they need somebody to kind of.
I just like that we can be an all-inclusive show to everyone.
Do fraternities count as gangs?
Those are gangs for rich people.
Yeah.
I don't think those are gangs.
Okay.
Those are more like clubs.
I would think that the fraternity and sorority people, I mean, the fraternity people, I don't know about the sorority people. I'd imagine the fraternity people like me more than you just because you make fun of them sometimes.
I don't make fun of frat guys. I've met a lot of frat guys that I really like.
Okay.
It depends on the frat guy.
Yeah.
Those big business guys with the khakis, they all probably prefer you.
Yeah.
But the ones that like to party probably prefer me.
Okay.
But sometimes those are the same guy.
Sometimes.
And not all frat guys are that guy either. I know a lot of frat guys that are just regular guys.
Sure.
They're just like us.
I feel like you're walking back some hate.
I said some things in the past that I was labeling.
It was nice of you to own up to it.
Yeah, I did say some things that were not.
Curry favor to steal them from my fan base. Okay, I see what you're doing here.
I met a lot of very nice frat guys.
Let's go to break. We got a Texas A&M chancellor making some statements about the SEC football schedule. We'll dive into that next.
American Environmental is an industrial clean.
All right, we got some comments coming from Texas A&M Chancellor John Sharp as he talks about a potential deadline for playing this season. The Pac-12, they had an AD come out and say, we need to have a decision by the end of May. Texas A&M Chancellor John Sharp said, with some conversations with SEC officials and the NCAA, I think they've come to the conclusion that you could probably start football as late as October and still have a 13-game schedule. We don't know when this thing is going to end. We don't know when it's going to happen. For all we know, we may have football where we have coaches and players and referees on the field with a TV camera and nobody in the stadium. We don't know, but we are trying to figure all that out. But none of that can be figured out until when we know the world goes back to work. I guess the takeaway here, Cody, is that they would be okay with starting the season, because we haven't seen that yet, right? That they'd be okay starting the season late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we've thought that maybe the spring, like if they can't get the fall, they'll do the spring, but they're saying we'll start the season late in the fall, October, and then we'll still be able to do all 13 games. Did you see Laura Rutledge's update yesterday?
I heard something about it, but I forgot.
ESPN reporter Laura Rutledge apparently came out on GetUp and said that she believes many colleges are hoping to get the athletes back on campus in mid-July. The most important piece is there's optimism around it. It's definitely complicated, but there's optimism because they have time, and really the timeline that we're looking at here is towards the end of May, early June. All these conferences that have shut down operations right now are going to reconvene, and they're going to assess the situation around the country just like we're all doing. They're going to see how things look at that point. We're really talking about early June. That buys them a lot of time up until that point. And they say they're targeting mid-July for a hopeful return and some semblance of athletic activity. If you get back by mid-July, do you think that still gives you time to get to start, you know, end of August, a six-week training camp? Is that enough to really be, I don't want to say starting from scratch, but to really be starting behind the eight ball, right? Of, you know, you didn't get a spring. Can you get a team ready in 6 weeks, or is that going to maybe say, hey, you got to wait an extra month? Start at the beginning of October.
I think it would be okay if we started a little bit late. I don't think that would be too bad. I'm just wondering if we'll need to. I mean, at that point, once we get into the fall, I'm just wondering what the difference is going to be in September and October.
Sure. I think an extra month is actually a lot in terms of healing.
At that point, I think I'd be more concerned about the second wave.
In October?
Yeah, and whether or not that's going to be significant if we gather 100,000 people in a stadium.
I was saying it from the opposite of, you give people an extra month to feel like this has gone away and you've worked on treatment and all that stuff, and people might be willing to get in the stands in October where they might not be ready to do that at the end of August.
I think people are going to be willing to get in the stands regardless.
Okay.
College football fans who have been starved of sports for so long, by the time we get to September, I don't think there'd be too much of a difference as long as we're on the decline. And again, nobody really knows what'll happen with that second wave. But as like for what we're at now, the first big hit, we're starting to level out a bit.
Sure. So you think people would sign up to come to the stadium at the end of August?
I do, yeah. Football fans, yeah.
Florida, for the Florida game, I would say yes. But for Charlotte,
probably not for a game like that.
Well, that's the home opener, yeah, September 5th. Like, I mean, I'm just saying perception-wise, if around the country you had half-empty stadiums –
Well, attendance is going down anyway. So,
attendance is going down, right? But
you see it down quite a bit more.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I don't know if it's the first time crowds are getting back together and you're a little cautious about it and you're either older or you have underlying conditions. Are you risking it for Tennessee-Charlotte?
No. I would agree with you on that. But I also don't think there's any way that it's not packed for the Florida game.
Right. Tennessee-Furman, I would say the same thing. Probably not getting good attendance there either, unless you just have a huge George Quarles fan base, like maybe everyone from Maryville.
Yeah.
Packs the stadium out.
They'll just have their own little section.
But you're probably right that if Tennessee plays Florida,
I think we're full capacity.
You'll have people throw caution to the wind.
I think we're 102-455 against Florida.
Depends on how you look against Oklahoma.
I still think it's full against Florida, even if there's...
Well, I'm just saying from a team standpoint at that point, like if you haven't looked good and JG's still your starter and he's doing the same maddening things. You didn't sell out the Florida game 2 years ago is all I'm saying. Like,
the thing I've been saying for the people that want Harrison Bailey as a starter, you kind of got to hope he's no good against Oklahoma.
Probably.
My thought process is if you want Harrison Bailey as your quarterback against Florida, then you need Garantano to look really bad against Oklahoma. Because I don't think there's any other way that Harrison Bailey's coming in over him. You know what I mean?
Sure. Without injury.
Yeah, so you pretty much need to throw that Oklahoma game aside if you want the freshman in against Florida. Unless
I don't think there's anybody that's going to do that, though, is there?
No. Well, I mean, I know there's some outliers. If you could take one.
There's like some outliers who, you know, just hate Jarrett Garantano that much, but I think everyone's going to hope that he plays well against Oklahoma, or they should.
Yeah, of course.
Because you can beat Oklahoma, and that would be a national spotlight game. So, I mean, I hope there's no one saying, I hope he struggles against Oklahoma so we can get him for SEC play.
But also, of course, if you could somehow guarantee people that you get one or the other and you get Florida, then they'll take
to win.
Yeah, they'll take that. Of course, you can't guarantee that. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know. But otherwise, I mean, I don't – like, Garantano would have to come out and look awful against Charlotte for him to not be the starter against Oklahoma is what I'm guessing. Wouldn't you think – I mean, wouldn't you probably agree? Especially with Harrison Bailey not getting to show off – like with the, in spring ball and stuff. I mean,
no, like I've said, I believe that you are looking at Jarrett Garantano being your starting quarterback for those reasons. Your first big game is a road game. Can you really throw a true freshman in there in that situation?
In Norman?
I'm going to guess you can't. Now, maybe if there's no fans. But like if there's no fans, maybe you go with Harrison Bailey a lot sooner because he can hear and make the calls, and it feels more like a scrimmage, and like, hey, it's more of a practice than a game, and you don't have to worry about your true freshman going on the road to Norman and being overwhelmed. So, like, I mean, if there's no fans, maybe you just run Harrison Bailey out there from the get-go.
Well, and the flip side also, if you put him – if he played against Oklahoma, then that would be nice to have him tested by the time he plays Florida.
Unless he just fails the test miserably.
Well, yeah, and then you
– that's what you have to worry about these young quarterbacks, though. Like, I mean – in today's day and age, can Jeremy Pruitt allow the time for a freshman quarterback to go through the bumps? Right? I mean, like if Harrison Bailey gets off to a bad start, if he is starting from day one, do you allow him to grow? Does Jeremy Pruitt have that type of job security to have a struggling freshman quarterback that's really talented? And I don't think the fans would be willing to say, you know what, let's let this guy grow because the ceiling's much higher in 2021 with him getting a full year under his belt because we're so desperate for wins.
Well, that wouldn't be ideal, but when you look at the alternative, it's having Garantano in there, and then you might not figure out till game four or five, like, we're just going to have to roll with the freshman. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, he's going to be taking his lumps in the middle of the season.
Well, I mean, what we saw from Jerry Pruitt last year is that – he is going to be willing to do that. Like, I mean, he was not a traditional coach in the sense of you got to treat the quarterback a certain way for his confidence because, you know, for a while, Garantano was thriving as a guy coming off the bench, right? Like, he was putting in quarterbacks for just a series to change things up and hopefully spark the team. So I actually have a lot of confidence in him. When I say him, I mean Jeremy Pruitt, in him handling this the right way.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, if you're going to – if we're operating under the assumption that Harrison Bailey's going to play at some point anyway, I feel like you'd rather him take his lumps in the first 3 weeks of the season and maybe struggle against Oklahoma than you would to bring him in the middle of SEC play and put him in that situation. Because at the end of the day, your conference games matter more.
What about the what are your thoughts on the – if there are no fans in the stands, like I feel like that would give Harrison Bailey a better chance, right? Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. And there's just certain physical things and learning the game. Like, is he ready?
Sure. And, you know, it sucks for him. I really, truly feel like it sucks for him to not be able to have the benefit of a spring practice. And teams across the country are going to have to deal with that. Teams in the NFL are going to have to deal with that. Like, if you're bringing in new pieces, you're not going to have the same time to get them up to speed physically.
It's part of mentally. It's part of being an early enrollee and where that gives you an advantage, right, typically. But now it'll just be like he's a regular guy coming in the summer, you know. So,
man, that would really suck to be an early enrollee. Like you're 18.
Put
you're
in
like,
all that work.
Yeah, you're like, we're going to skip.
Missed prom and all that.
Which, I mean, the prom's canceled anyways.
Yeah, it would be.
So it's not like he missed that from that respect, but to get to campus, I'm saying, and like you're like, okay, finally college, going to be playing ball, going to be living life, and then you're like back at home taking online classes, whereas your friends in high school, you know what they're doing? Nothing.
Yeah.
Like, the school's just canceled for them, right? Like, our high school's moved online? Or maybe, I guess maybe the high schools are moved online, but...
I know my brother does middle school online right now.
Okay.
So I'm assuming high school's online.
I don't
Your brother live in a good county in Georgia? Because I feel like most counties in Tennessee, like, I don't even know, like, in Knox County, like, I feel like they're not even allowed to do that because most kids, or not all kids have access
to
computers.
That's what I asked him. I asked him, I was like, hey, like, what happens if, like, a kid doesn't have access to, like, the internet? And he's like, oh, they give them a packet. So I don't know if that's the way it's going all around the country doing it.
A packet, but, and they have to mail it back. Like,
something, I guess. Yeah, I guess they got to do some paper version, but yeah. Hmm. So they're you know, trying to kind of accommodate everybody, I guess.
Just
I
a bunch of worksheets.
Yeah.
Congrats
just busy
on
work.
These poor kids.
Congrats on being an early enrollee. Here's online classes. Good luck.
Like, you just, that would suck so bad. Just get a big packet of worksheets you got to do.
Yeah, that would be tough.
You remember worksheets?
Yep.
I'd got a worksheet. Mine didn't come in the mail. Yeah. I'd be like, I'm sorry, I didn't get anything.
Mailman must have lost it.
Yeah.
Just play on the clip of President Trump taking down the mail carriers about how they're a terrible organization.
Then the mailman might show up to your door and be mad at you, though.
Yeah.
Like that Curb episode. You know?
You said, like, I lost your mail? No, it's just a lie.
I was just saying that because I didn't want, you know, there was this thing, I wasn't going to go to it.
You make enemies with your mailman, but surely your young brother would be able to survive that beef. But it would suck to be an early enrollee. Like I said, you're ready to kickstart life, and you actually have responsibilities now back at home while your friends are either taking very easy classes in high school or just not taking school at all. That would be awful. But if you're looking, like I'm sure Harrison Bailey is looking, like a talented guy like that, is looking for the best opportunity to get playing time, right? And that's probably the biggest loss here, is that you don't get a spring practice. You just have to go and run some routes with your high school receivers, which I guess he went to a pretty talented high school, so maybe if those guys are still around, you can still get some work in.
Yeah, if he knows everybody from down there, he's got plenty of people.
Yeah, and their high school was good. Their high school had good players, so I mean, like maybe that's okay. Maybe that he has access to talented players that are playing at a D1 level.
Yeah, it's good. Like if it's only like the 6 weeks, like you said, the guy was talking about, I think it does really hurt like the young guys like that and the teams that have the new coaching staffs.
Yeah,
and especially like first time head coaches. That, this is probably really tough on them.
That's a point I haven't really thought of, Cam. Is like in both situations in the NFL and in college football, like a first year coach trying to implement a program, like you are going to be, I mean, you can be struggling. I mean, obviously, like you have guys like Mike Leach who are making it even harder on themselves by running off some players with tweets. But, I mean, Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, Mike Leach at Mississippi State, like those guys are already fighting an uphill battle. Tennessee plays Sam Pittman in Arkansas. Like that's a first-time head coach. Like he has never done this before, so. Nope. He's going to have to figure this out in 6 weeks with a brand new quarterback as he takes over Felipe Franks, but at least he's got a veteran quarterback, I guess, in that sense, whereas Mississippi State also has KJ Costello. But, yeah, those guys –
got a new system.
So. Got to learn a completely new system in 6 weeks of actual practice time.
And, implementing your game plan and your system and things like that, it's just the culture too. And we don't know exactly if it's just going to snap back to – you know, how things were, you know, in the program. There may still be some restrictions on stuff. So if you're trying to establish your culture, your system, figure out what you're doing as a head coach, it's kind of a whirlwind. And I think it's going to make some of those teams very susceptible to upsets and stuff very early on in the season. Just because, they're trying to figure it out as they go, almost.
Oh, no. Well, when you put it that way, like, we didn't really come out the gate hot last year.
Yeah, I think we're better suited than some teams this year, though, just off the fact that we have a coach who's been here a few years. We can do, Garantano, and you have a good starting – or not a veteran quarterback is
right,
you know,
but I mean,
been used to playing.
That's the same thing we had last year, too, though, with him coming in. And, again, Tennessee didn't get off to a hot start, to say the least, last year, so –
maybe get lucky, and Spencer Rattler can't really get anything done in 7 weeks. So.
Well, that's what we are hoping, right? I mean, although he has been He was there last year, right? Like, he was a redshirt
guy.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's been there, and he's in the same system. But
it's still different when you hit the field.
It's still different when you hit the field as the alpha, too. Like, I mean, as the leader, that's a different scenario. And he played a couple games last year in mop-up duty. But this was the first time it will be his team. Spencer Rattler, of course, is the talented five-star, I guess, going to be a redshirt freshman. Mm-hmm. Talented redshirt freshman for Oklahoma. He is going to be trying to figure this out as a first-time starting quarterback. So, you know, Tennessee might have an advantage there if you get a good version of Garantano.
Can you imagine if Harrison Bailey's actually really good?
It'd be awesome.
Like, what it'll be like to have an actual really good quarterback.
It will be awesome.
Cam, isn't it that I think in Georgia high school football, there's only three guys ahead of him all time in, like, career passing, and it was, like, Trevor Lawrence, Jake Fromm, and Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I think it's, like, Watson Fields, somebody else. Because, yeah, he's definitely way up there, because I was surprised when I was looking at the numbers.
Yeah, maybe not Jake Fromm. Maybe it was Fields. Like, I can't remember. But, yeah, it was like he's right up there, like elite all time, which, again, that's high school ball, but those are pretty good high schools.
I mean, yeah, like the level he's playing on is consistently pumping out two or three D1 players per team.
Yeah, and to be in that elite level, like with those names, I mean, I think it gives people are really excited about him.
He is fifth all time now on the Georgia passing.
But he's up there with some names.
So the people ahead of him are Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson, Jake Fromm, and Kahari Lane, who I'm not sure who that is.
He comes from a talented state, and he's put up numbers in a talented place. Like, you know, you've seen people draw the comparisons or make the comparisons of, you know, what JG did versus New Jersey competition. Like, that's a whole different ball game than being in Georgia doing things. So,
Georgia's probably the third. I think it surpassed either.
It's right behind California and Texas, right? Or I guess.
I think it surpassed one in terms. It might have been California it surpassed in terms of just like the number of high level prospects.
So it's probably behind Florida and Texas?
I think so.
Okay.
I think it might have passed
definitely
California.
Probably the top four states for sure.
Yeah.
And the level he's playing at too is, it's not like he was playing like they do. I think he's in 7-5A is what it is down there still. And that's the highest level, and that's when you get all the big-time D1 guys. You're not just playing against the 1-2-star schools.
Yeah.
He's putting up real numbers against some good competition.
I hope he's really good.
That would be the best thing for Tennessee's program.
That would be really nice.
And maybe there are people that would say, you know what, would you sacrifice this year to set up next year?
For two really good years from him?
Yeah.
And maybe a run at the playoff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been patient long
when
enough.
When I say sacrifice this year, I mean 6-6. Like, you, 6-6 or 7-5, like, I mean, you aren't beating anybody, and some of the games he's going to make freshman mistakes, and you're going to see some talented flashes from him, but do you deal with that for a full year? Or do you have to, as a coach, like Jeremy Pruitt, who, again, doesn't necessarily have the cachet to punt years, because you said he was going to get fired if he goes, you know, you said that tongue-in-cheek, but it was like, fire him if he goes 7-5. That was a little, you know, that was hyperbolic, but there are going to be people who aren't still sold on Jeremy Pruitt. So if he has a 7-5 year, like, he is going to really, really be on the hot seat.
Yeah, and the thing with reality is you don't get those hypotheticals. Like I think everybody would sign up for 6-6 this year if it meant we're going to be making a run for the SEC and for the playoff next year.
Like, if the reps actually equaled success.
Right, but that's the thing. You don't know. You just don't know if you get that, so you got to plan for now.
I mean, LSU kind of did it with Burrow to an extent. Let him take some lumps as a first-time starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Early on in that season, he won some close games, like against Auburn.
I hope LSU fans have enjoyed this offseason, because they are going to take a big step back.
They just landed a big-time recruit, a big-time safety, so maybe. Yeah.
They'll still be good, but I just mean, like.
It's not going to be as fun as it was. Like,
they were 15-0.
Yeah, it's all downhill from here.
It's hard not to take a step back.
Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Some NFL draft news coming out today about the Detroit Lions. Apparently the Detroit Lions are open for business at number 3. I don't guess that's surprising, but they're basically telling Miami, hey, at the very least, if you want your choice of Tua, if you want to have the second quarterback coming off the board, you better come up off of some draft picks to move up two spots. The Detroit Lions officially hold the leverage because I don't think Cincinnati will do anything crazy with their pick, and I think that Washington is going to quickly select Chase Young. So the draft that starts 2 weeks from today, right? Two weeks from today.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks to the day, we'll be in full draft mode. The Detroit Lions say, hey, we are the start of the draft, and our third overall pick is up for grabs. If you want Tua, or if you want one of these stud defensive guys, we're open for business.
Did you see the guy, Mike Tannenbaum? You familiar with him?
I'm familiar with the name.
The ex-Dolphins personnel man.
Okay.
He said he was quoted as saying recently that it would be irresponsible to take Tua in the top 10.
He said it would be irresponsible?
That's what he thinks.
What's irresponsible about it? Because to take him in the top 10? Like, I get if you're saying, like, hey, if you take him at number one, that's irresponsible. And, okay, I agree with that.
He says Miami shouldn't even consider Tua in the top 10 at all.
Why would Miami not consider Tua? Like, Miami's in a pretty good spot of building for the future. This is the ultimate build for the future move.
He's worried about the medicals.
Yeah, he's concerned, very concerned about Tua's medical history.
But again, if you have three first-round draft picks, I don't think you have the same amount of pressure on you as someone with only one chance to get this right. Is that fair to say? Like, is that fair? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You have three shots, and you know they might could even do, and I wouldn't even be that mad at the Dolphins if they did it, do what Washington did with RG3. Do you remember RG3's draft?
Not in detail, no.
Well, they drafted RG3 at number two overall, and then they ended up drafting Kirk Cousins in the fourth round.
Oh, yeah. They drafted two quarterbacks.
Right, and they're like, you know, Kirk Cousins will be at least a backup in this league, and he'll be a cheap option. If RG3 gets hurt running around, we will have some backup, and that's exactly how it played out. Kirk Cousins didn't win much in Washington. I believe he got into the playoffs, right? They lost that one playoff game to the Packers.
RG3 never did that, did he?
No, he did. They lost to Seattle.
Oh, he got him to the playoffs?
I believe his rookie year, and then when he blew his knee out, like he got hurt in the playoff game because Dan Snyder is cheap and let the field go to hell, and RG3 got hurt by Seattle on their terrible turf. I believe that was his rookie year. So I wouldn't be like, with as many picks as Miami has, like if you want to take Tua there, like I wouldn't have a problem if in the second or third round they also took another quarterback. Just because we know the most valuable thing in sports, we say this all the time, most valuable thing in sports is a cheap quarterback that can play.
Yeah. Apparently former GM Mike Lombardi echoed his remarks. He's kind of said the same thing. He said Tua is brittle and that you can't deny it, citing his history of ankle, hip, and wrist injuries.
No, I mean, he's been hurt. Is there – I mean, how concerned are you for Tua? Are you convinced that he's not going to hold up in the NFL because, you know, he got hurt at Alabama with having more talent than everybody, but he also played a different style of football. So, like, if you coach Tua and you say, look, dude, you can't do this in the NFL anymore. You have to take care of your body.
I mean, he does have a history of ankle, hip, and wrist injuries. Three separate areas of the body. And some guys are just like that, you know. Some guys are more prone to injury, I think. So, in the NFL, I mean, it's a different game.
I still can't get over Nick Saban leaving him in that Mississippi
State. They were up, what, 35-7?
And he had convinced him on the sideline, give me one more drive. Like, you have to protect the player from himself. Like, that's just so sickening. And Nick Saban hasn't gotten enough criticism for that.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't. And that was classic Nick Saban, just caring about himself and caring about his, you know, his championships. And you know, I'm sure Tua wanted to win a championship, but
it was just him caring about his message of like, hey, we don't take games off, we don't take plays off, we got to keep playing 60 minutes because of the kick six and all this stuff he tries to do. But like,
the game was in hand.
The game was in hand.
I mean,
it not only cost Alabama their season, but again, you have a quarterback who is, you know, who had injury concerns before.
And people are trying to argue that Alabama needed the style points as if they had not earned the reputation.
Right.
Like, Alabama would have gotten in with Tua. I don't think they needed style points.
Well, here's the thing. Style points against Mississippi State didn't mean anything.
Yeah, what's the difference in 35-7 and 49-7?
The style points against them is not important because you could have put Mac Jones in and still scored points. It wasn't.
Yeah.
That's a stupid argument.
Yeah, it is.
If they beat Auburn, you know, with Tua, if you go and beat Auburn, that's enough of a style point to go and win that game on the road.
I think they would have been in.
And I was on record last year saying they weren't going to get in with Tua, which
right.
I don't know if they would have or not, but if you're Nick Saban, it wasn't going to be style points. Like, beating Mississippi State by an extra two touchdowns doesn't get you in the doesn't get you in the field one way or the other. I would imagine you agree with that, too.
Like, yes, yes. They needed to beat Auburn, maybe handily with Tua. Maybe sure. Beat Auburn by two or three scores or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, but, like, the difference between 35 and 42 wouldn't have been the difference.
Not against
them getting
Mississippi
in.
State.
Or even against Auburn. Like, if you don't win by 10, win by 17 or 20, and if that happens, that's a different story.
It might have – style points might have helped against Auburn if you just absolutely blew them out
sure.
Versus winning close, sure. You know, but not against
but
Mississippi
But I'm saying, like,
State.
The difference between five touchdowns and six doesn't matter
right,
in almost
right, yeah.
any game.
Yeah, especially against a team like Mississippi State that wasn't any good. So, yeah, that was
– it's crazy to me that Nick Saban doesn't get more criticism for that because
yeah.
This is staying with Tua. And I don't – look, Mike Lombardi got fired for a reason. Like, Mike Lombardi is a failed GM.
Mm-hmm.
Tannenbaum, failed GM. Or fell, you say, as a president or GM? What was he at in Miami?
He was a former personnel director.
I know Lombardi was a GM. He was running
Oakland. They just call him ex-Dolphins personnel man.
Okay.
But they also say he was one of the most prominent decision makers in recent Dolphins history.
Okay, well, look where the Dolphins are at.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, what they say doesn't carry much weight to me. Bill Polian was actually successful at building teams. He was really good at building the Colts. And what he says doesn't carry weight with me because he's old and over the hill. Like, you know, that's why whenever he was telling everybody, oh, Lamar Jackson should be a wide receiver, I'm like, this is an old, senile man. Like, they should quit propping him up on TV as some type of expert. The game's
passing by. That's the old black quarterbacks can't throw mentality.
Right. But these guys, again, that was Bill Polian who was successful at building teams. These guys not successful at building teams. So I don't care what they say at all.
Yeah.
But Nick Saban putting Tua in this situation to where now people are saying he's not even a top 10 pick, that just seems crazy to me because, again, before Joe Burrow exploded on the scene, Tua was the clear-cut number one. And I don't even know, as good as Joe Burrow was, would he have been a clear-cut number one if Tua was healthy? If Tua hadn't hurt his hip? Like, I feel like Tua probably is still ranked ahead of him on draft boards if Tua didn't hurt his hip.
Oh, yeah, I think it would be a Jameis Mariota kind of debate where he's like, oh, it's almost a coin flip.
Or even a Baker, like Sam yeah. Darnold type of thing, which, you know, Tua was a better version of Sam Darnold. But Baker was someone who was unconventional. Like, Burrow's bigger than him, but he's older and only has one elite year, whereas Tua would have had two or three. So I think it would be a coin flip, like you said.
You got to think, too, they both had so many special receivers. Like,
oh, yeah.
Tua had more weapons, but, like, Ja'Marr Chase may have been – the best one. You know what I mean? In terms of just LSU may have had the best player there. They both had a number of weapons, though, so it's hard to know for sure.
You think Chase is better than Judy?
Than Jerry Judy?
And Ruggs?
It's hard to say.
Wait, isn't Justin Jefferson, isn't he the stud?
He's
I thought he was
the
stud LSU.
First.
They're both stud. I mean,
I think Chase isn't eligible for this.
Okay,
draft,
so Chase is still in the
He's a sophomore. I think he's a sophomore.
I feel like Chase and Jefferson are two, like, they're obviously just as good as the Alabama receivers, but I think Bama's got more.
Jefferson's a projected first-round pick as well.
Yeah, Chase is a sophomore, like you said. But he had 1,780 yards and 20 touchdowns.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous.
He'll be a first-round pick, too. But, yeah, they were talking about Justin Jefferson. I saw him on NFL Live this weekend where he was talking to McShay and Kiper, and they were laughing about him running a 4-4 at the combine. And you combine that with the way he catches, and like, yeah, now he's definitely a first-round pick. And they were laughing, saying they thought he was going to be slower than that.
Those guys may be better than Judy. I don't know. But the thing is, you get to the NFL, like, it's just hard to say until we see them, like Tua and Burrow, because they both have had a ton of weapons in college. But these NFL DBs, these corners, like, are just – it's a different level. And the D-line's coming at you. It's a different level, a different speed of the game. So – I don't know. I'd feel a lot better about Burrow now for sure. I mean, I can see why these guys would say you got to be concerned. I wouldn't call it irresponsible to take him in the top 10.
Again, for the Dolphins, who have a plethora of picks, I don't think them taking a a project or even a high upside guy, which is what you would probably consider. I mean, I would guess. I guess if you have injury concerns with Tua, he has low floor, high ceiling, right? Would that be the way you? Because if he stays healthy, he's going to be good, and if he gets hurt, he's going to be out the league.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if the Dolphins don't take him in the top 10, where does he go? You know,
could go number 18 to the Dolphins. Like maybe the Dolphins, if they take him at 18, then it becomes value because they have three picks.
Right. Maybe they're thinking of it that way.
But you'll have some team take him in the top 10 just because quarterbacks are too valuable.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks are too important, and getting the right one on a rookie deal that can come and win you games by year two is just too valuable to pass up.
He's awesome when he's healthy.
So. Now, you could make the argument, like, to me, saying drafting Tua in the top 10 is wrong. Or saying drafting Tua in the top 10 is irresponsible, I think that's wrong. But if you say, like, hey, Miami trading a bunch of picks to move up two spots to get Tua, I'll listen to you there.
That would be irresponsible?
Yeah, to say that that's irresponsible and, like, Miami shouldn't do that, I'll listen to you there. Because I would rather take my chance at three, you know, two elite skill players or two elite linemen, two elite other position players, and then take a flyer on a quarterback with my third pick.
Like, if he's there, take him, but don't try too hard to go get him.
Yes.
Yeah.
So stay at five? Y'all saying stay at five?
If I'm Miami, I would. Unless the cost was like, we swap third-round picks or something like that. Because Detroit, I don't know what other teams are going to trade up, you know, be willing to give a whole bunch up. I think the days are gone. You've seen, you know, what the Rams had to get up for Goff. What the Bears had to give up for Trubisky to move up a couple spots. Like, I don't think teams are still eagerly doing that, especially for a guy with injury concerns. But maybe there's a sucker. There's a sucker in every draft. So maybe there would be a team. I just don't know how many. We've gone through the list of franchises, right? When we look at the landscape of what Cam Newton and, you know, Jameis Winston are dealing with, there's just not a lot of quarterback starving teams. One of the teams I'd be worried about drafting Tua ahead of me would be Detroit. Since, I mean, like, the days of Stafford might be numbered, like, they might want to trade up to get ahead of me, but they're already at number three. The other team I guess I would be worried about is at number six.
Yeah.
Chargers are at number six, right? Like,
yeah.
The Chargers might hop you, so, like, I'd be a little worried about that, but.
I think that's the only team they really have to look out for. So it's just. Kind of how much of a threat do they think the Chargers actually are?
But if you're the Chargers, like, if you're the Chargers, does that make sense for you to do that for Tua either? Because you're at a weird spot with your franchise right now. Now, granted, you might need a star. Maybe you could sell Tua as a star. He is from, quote-unquote, the West Coast, being from Hawaii. But you could sell him as a marketable star. But if he – you can't really afford to risk and gamble. Because if you draft a dud in Tua, that's going to sink your franchise. If you're the Chargers, right? I mean, who is already struggling to move to L.A.? Like, that seems like that would be detrimental to give up assets to go to number three, draft a quarterback who might not be ready to play this year, and then he might get hurt when he plays. To me, the only team that I wouldn't have a problem with would be the Dolphins. But again, I'm not giving up huge assets to move up two spots. I will just stockpile assets and then maybe try to trade for – you know, move up to get Trevor Lawrence next year or try to just, you know, work it out. Find a Cam Newton. Find a guy that we can just kind of keep piecing this together. Take somebody in the second round. Take Jordan Love at 18. I'd rather have Jordan Love at 18 than, you know, trading up and trying to maneuver for two spots in the draft.
Yeah, I agree. Shoot, yeah, I would even take Herbert there at five. Maybe not at five. No, I think he'll go at six, though. I mean, if...
Yeah. The Chargers are going to take Herbert, is what everyone's saying. I mean, that feels the same West Coast thing, right? I mean, him being from
whatever quarterback Oregon. I think is available at six. Yeah, they're taking him.
Herbert to the Chargers.
Yeah,
seems like a good fit.
Herbert has a chance to be successful. I don't know if I think he'll be successful, but he has a chance. And if you take him just at six. Without having to trade up to do it, like that tells you a whole different story. That's a whole different, you know, level he has to reach. He can just be solid for you at that point. Husker's got, you know, Herbert has athleticism. In the latest CBS mock draft, they have Miami taking Justin Herbert. Mm-hmm. Says there are too many injury concerns for the Dolphins. They have Tua going 6 to the Chargers.
I mean, that would be a good spot for Tua. I mean, sit behind Tyrod for a year.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I don't know. Can you sit behind? That's the thing is when you look at the actual scenario of sitting behind a quarterback for a year, kind of goes back to the conversation we had in hour one with Jeremy Pruitt. Anthony Lynn does not have the cachet to to tank a year. So, like, if Tyrod Taylor is giving you 4 or 5 wins or 5 or 6 wins, which, you know, I don't think he's a quarterback who can get you to the playoffs. He did in Buffalo, so maybe he can. But I don't think in 2020 Tyrod Taylor is moving the needle enough for you in that regard. Anthony Lynn, do you trust him to have the patience to sit Tua?
Maybe he'd be good to go halfway through the year, and you're going to get him in there and, you know, kind of get the fan base excited. Yeah, just show hope.
For me, if I'm the Dolphins and I'm at 5, if I'm a Dolphins fan, like I guess I could talk myself into Tua. But, I mean, I would be just fine with taking Derek Brown from Auburn, right? Putting him on my defensive line. Taking one of these offensive linemen, just building through the trenches and just waiting. Then you get down to 18, and there might be some quarterbacks left. Or you can trade up a little bit before, you know, Jordan Love or somebody goes off the board. And you just stockpile as many young, elite players as you can get from the SEC or from wherever. Because, I mean, Jordan Love in this draft has the number 19. He's going number 19 to Oakland. So, I mean, he's going to be there at 18. And then even in the second round, if you wanted to gamble with somebody and gamble with, you know, I don't really like Jalen Hurts' prospects in the NFL. You take your chance with him. You take your chance with Fromm, Eason, someone like that. You know, I've seen people saying the Patriots are going to end up with Fromm.
I've been saying that. It just seems like a guy they'd take, in my opinion.
They said they would trust him to come in, be able to run the offense.
Don't make mistakes unless he's playing South Carolina.
And there's no NFL team in South Carolina. So
yeah, so he may be all right.
They're not really worried about it. There's a couple of interesting things here. You know, the draft's always based around the quarterback. Like, that's always the talking points of the draft. Now, this year is going to be also wide receiver heavy. But it always comes down to the quarterbacks. It'll be fun to see how it plays out. All right, so you said, Cody, you had something from the L.A. Times. Bill Plaschke, your boy.
Oh, yeah, Bill Plaschke's got a take.
Well, I mean, he's just California. Bill Plaschke screams L.A. You're L.A. Cody.
He's not my boy.
Bill Plaschke, one of my least favorite participants on Around the Horn. I always root against Bill Plaschke. Has quite the take for the sports landscape on how to deal with Rona. We'll dive into that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet.
Back on the program. All right, give me Bill Plaschke's take here as he has a plan for how sports can come back in America.
Bill Plaschke says we should put sports in a timeout until 2021.
No, no.
He says, listen to the doctors, listen to the science, forget the coaches, forget the GMs, forget all these guys, and let's wait till 2021. Ignore the leagues, mute the coaches, and listen to the science, is the way he put it.
Listen to the science.
He says we should bench the sports world until 2021.
What's the science behind that? Like, what is the science saying something that I'm unaware of?
Well, he goes in to talk about a development of widespread utilization of an effective vaccine is probably many months away. And because serological testing of those who have immunity to the virus is at least several months away, the clock has run out on the current and upcoming seasons of this country's major sports. You keep waiting for someone to say it ain't so, but all the evidence says it's absolutely so. He references Dr. Jeffrey Smith, who addressed the Santa Clara County Board of Supervisors. He said he did not anticipate any sports games until at least Thanksgiving, and we'd be lucky to have them by Thanksgiving.
And that's without fans as well?
Oh, yeah, I would assume. He said this is not something that's going to be easy to do. Apparently, Dr. Smith came as close as anyone to saying what many have been dreading, but as Bill Plaschke puts it, it's time to start accepting this. Just as everything else in our world has been inexorably altered, so too have sports. They're not invincible. They're not immune. It's never over till it's over, but this feels pretty much over. So he's got a pretty negative outlook on it. Says the NBA is probably done. The Lakers and Clippers seasons are almost certainly ruined. Look at the China Basketball Association, which has already postponed a scheduled restart and is now looking at a minimum four-month shutdown.
Yeah, China got a little too aggressive when they were coming back, apparently, saying they were going to be back, and they just kept pushing it off, and now next thing you know, they're just like, you know what, this is going to take a lot longer than we thought. But again, China playing by a little different rules when it comes to how honest they've been regarding the virus and how bad it's been. So if it's been as bad as the numbers that we think are coming out of China.
Yeah, he points
the urns and the ashes and the cell phones that have been shut off. Like if we think there's been more millions of deaths, or you know, hundreds of thousands in Wuhan, 50,000 in Wuhan, and you know, maybe a million or so across the entire country, they're playing with a different set of rules than the U.S. should be, where the U.S. is still looking around. I mean, it's gotten over 15,000, but
it's still not 100,000.
Yeah, it's still much, much lower than we were all bracing for. Now, again, if Bill Plaschke wants to say fans can't come to the stands, I'm not going to argue that point, because I don't know how we are going to do that when it comes to putting 30,000 people, 25,000 people for basketball games back into arenas, and 100,000 people back in to football stadiums. That seems like a reach to me.
Well, he also asks why, he said ESPN reports the league is exploring action to return to action through the use of rapid response blood tests. But if the effectiveness, I guess, is that what that? Even if the efficacy of those tests is proven,
why you're asking me like I know any words?
You were saying big words yesterday.
Yeah, but I had to Google those.
I feel like you know some big words. I thought you might know efficacy.
I know big words, but I don't. I know what efficacy means, but I don't know how
to say
it.
I feel like that's definitely how you say it.
Okay. Well, then I would imagine that's the effectiveness of it.
Yeah, I think that's what he's trying to say. Let's just use effectiveness. Even if the rapid response blood tests are effective.
The ability to produce a desired or intended result. So basically the effectiveness.
Yeah. Why would NBA players be the first in line over millions of other Americans?
I was always so much better whenever I would do like ACT prep and stuff. Like knowing what the words meant, I could usually get that right.
Mm-hmm.
But pronouncing them, pulling them out of my brain to use
right
on a fly was always tougher. But if you give me a word, I could usually
figure out what it means. Yeah.
Especially like in context, obviously.
Just may not use it in conversation correctly.
Right.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But basically, he asks if these tests are proven effective, why would NBA players go to the front of the line
millions of dollars
over millions of other Americans who need to get back to work?
Millions of dollars both ways. And look, again, this is what the conversation I'm talking about from a couple days ago. How important are sports? Right? That was a question I asked a couple days ago. How important are they? What do you think the average American, how do you think they feel about the importance of sports? Not the sports fans. How important do you think the average American views sports as?
The average American?
The average American.
The average American is probably a sports fan, aren't they?
Maybe. I mean, I would say they have at least somewhat of a respect and somewhat of an interest level. Now, obviously, this is all on a spectrum, and you have the huge live my life by it, the huge people who, and then on the other side you have people who are like, oh, this is stupid, give money to the arts, we
right,
can't waste money
right,
on
right.
sports, we gotta send it to the, give it to the college professors who
but
are
the
really
people in the middle. I think the average American likes sports.
Okay, but I mean, like, you know, the enough. You have to get to a certain point where the majority is just so heavy that the other 25-30% of people that are opposing it get kind of outnumbered.
I think more people in America like sports than don't. Do you think that's all people considered? Not saying they're fanatics.
I would say they have some of an interest level, but I don't think if you ask them, hey, should sports be prioritized, I don't think half the people would say yes.
I agree with that, but I just mean like or dislike at its core. I think most people would say,
more
yeah,
people
I
like than dislike, but I would say there's probably a larger number of people that you're not taking into account that would probably be like, eh, don't really care either way.
Right, right. I would say that the like, passionate people that would care and would prioritize sports is probably a low number. 25% of Americans.
I would say that the number that oppose them are even lower than that, though.
Yeah, and then there's a big middle ground.
Right, they're just like, no, they're stupid, they're a waste of time, right. We should care more about science and math. Like,
yeah.
That'd probably be 10 or 15%. So the question is, like, how big is the percentage of the people in the middle that you could convince to be okay with coming back?
Right.
And how many of those people would look and say, you know what, I don't really care about sports, but damn it, I just want life to get back to normal.
And
I want people to have an escape. I want to have things to talk about. I want people to have joy. I want America and the country and the world to feel like it used to feel. How many of those people can you get on your side to say, you know what, we need sports back?
Sports are a key part of that, basically.
Yeah, sports are a key part. Whether or not I love them, whether or not I care about them, whether or not I'm a fanatic, whatever, we need them as a country because it's just what our country is, right? I mean, because sports are a big deal to our country.
Yeah.
When you look at the money, right? When you look at the money that people get, there's a reason NBA players get $30 million because the demand is there. The revenue is there. The profits are there. People are willing to pay to watch these guys and pay to go to the games.
Right.
So there is a demand. Like, whether or not it's the right thing, it's the wrong thing, and whether or not, you know, we should have prioritized science and math more, you can argue about that. But the point is, in 2020, we care about sports. Our country cares about sports. Just check their pay stubs.
We will have to decide how much we care. Like, how important it is that they do come back.
Because to answer Bill Plaske's question of why they should be prioritized, I would say because millions of people want to watch them and millions of people get some type of joy or feel some type of normalcy from them being back, right? Is that not the answer to Bill's rhetorical question?
Yeah, probably. Then he goes on to talk about baseball. The number of players and personnel involved in each game makes it more difficult to restart than basketball.
Now, that is something I am going to – that is something that's going to have to be, you know, prioritized, and that's something you are going to have to figure out in terms of how many people is it actually going to take to run these sports. And, like,
and
can you ask them to go and be quarantined up for 3 months?
The people who are not the players.
And because those people don't make millionaire money.
Right.
So what can the leagues do to incentivize?
You need to pay them good money.
Incentivize? Is incentivize a word?
Yeah.
Can you incentivize them enough, either through bonuses or threatening their jobs or whatever you got to do? Can you get those people who are maybe making $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 an hour to leave their families for 3 months?
A year.
Sure, yeah. I mean, like, can you get them – you mean leave them for a year?
You said $60,000, $70,000 an hour.
Oh, yes, a year.
Yeah.
Okay, I got just going to say that. Well, they're only going to leave for 3 months. But, yes, can you convince them, guys who are salaried at, you know, good money but not life-changing money? If you ask most people who make $50,000, $60,000 a year, hey, go leave your family for 3 months, I don't know how many would say I would do that. You know what I mean? I don't know how many people would say, you know what, I'm okay with that.
No, you need to have a way to incentivize them probably, you know, with some extra money. Say we'll give you an extra $40,000 this year or something. That might be too much. We'll give you an extra $10,000 or something.
Some hazard pay.
Yeah, you got to do
some hazard pay. We'll give you an extra $10,000 for the 3 months you're gone.
You got
to
do something.
And I think, you know, like that would make – would I move away for 3 months for $10,000 to do my job I'm already doing, that I'm already going to be on the road for half the time anyways? I would probably do that and just say, hey, sorry, it's just something we got to do.
Yeah, and a lot of those people probably do want to get back to work, like to,
and they don't want to lose their jobs, and like it's going to be one of those things like where you can't really fight back because you don't want to be the squeaky wheel because the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and in this case, the grease is getting the hatchet, and you're fired, and you get replaced. Whether or not it happens immediately, or whether or not your just contract doesn't get renewed because your company's not going to forget about it, because your company is not going to want to lose hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right, and they're going to get rid of people like that before they get rid of, before they stop paying athletes.
Right,
you know. So
the athletes are much more valuable in this equation.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, you can't play baseball in the winter, obviously. So he goes on to talk about a lot of things.
You could play – well, yeah, I mean, baseball – well, I mean, what is the point there? We know baseball can't be played in the winter. That's why they're saying they were going to try to get it done by November.
Yeah, he's just saying basically he doesn't think that's going to happen. He says football is also probably done, at least for the calendar year.
No, see, that's where he's wrong.
The NFL can make headlines with free agency and a virtual draft, but none of those players will be allowed to hit the field until the late fall. College coaches can spout all they want about their kids being tougher than any little old virus, but they aren't.
See, this is where Bill Flacid is losing me because we're going to play football.
That's his name.
We're going to play football.
The best case for football would be a season that starts in January and runs through spring.
That is not the best case for the NFL.
And pros. Sounds drastic, but is that such a bad thing? When looking for real optimism here, perhaps that is where we should train our eyes on the potential excitement in sports' new realities. Can you imagine a Super Bowl in April? Maybe the week after baseball's opening day and a week before the Masters? How about a college football season running concurrently with college hoops? What about a national championship football game on the Sunday in the middle of the Final Four? He doesn't seem to cite a whole lot of evidence here other than this one doctor.
Sure. And I mean, look, it's effective. You are trying to get people talking. You're trying to get people thinking. So
now, there is a second doctor he talked to, Dr. Neil Elatrache, who is the team physician for the Dodgers and Rams. He said it's going to be tough. I think it's medically feasible you could reopen the three sports this year, but to have any sort of normal fan experience will be extremely difficult, well, if not impossible.
See, that's look, I have no qualms with that.
That's what the second doctor
says. Second doctor is where I'm lined up. Like, I think you're going to get sports, but I am not sold that you're going to get fans in the stands. And that seems really tough for me to think of 4 months from now, 5 months from now, where people are going to be willing to line up and sit together, piled on top of each other. Now, you're not wrong, Cody, in the sense that some people will be champing at the bit, ready to go because they love their sports that much. And I do think you'll have some people do it, whether or not they're allowed to, or whether or not they do it in sold-out capacity, I just don't see.
This doctor went on to say that for the sports world to return with fans, it will require a vaccine. I think you're talking about well into the fall until you can widely disseminate a vaccine. In the meantime, he said it's possible for players to return. They need access to antibodies tests that could determine if someone is immune to COVID. And, you know, we've heard about all that in these press conferences.
Sure.
But then the doctor says that's the bridge to the vaccine. That's the key to make those tests widely available. That's critically necessary to play this year.
See, again, play, I just disagree with. I think you do prioritize these leagues. I do think you prioritize normalcy. You saw that from the president, right? As he called a meeting last week with the commissioners of the league saying, we want to get back to play. You are prioritizing that.
We may not have fans in football stadiums this fall.
Again, that's, if you take anything away from this, if you take one takeaway from me, that's my take. Is that I'm not sold that we get fans in the stands. I hope I'm wrong. There's time for me to be wrong, but that's where I'm at right now.
Man, that's going to suck.
It's better than no football for me. If you disagree with it, I would understand. But for me, it's better, and that's where I want to be at. At least having that. At least give me the sports. Hour two's in the books. Hour three, we'll have headlines. We'll have some this or that. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
My name is John Reed, and for years people made fun of me for not drinking beer. I tried to find some replacements, but they were all far too sugary and left me feeling bad. Lucky for me, I found Truly Hard Seltzer. It's refreshing with only 1 gram of sugar. You truly love to see it.
It's the dawn of a new game day, and Truly Hard Seltzer is subbing in for light beer. With 5% ABV, only 100 calories, and that's light and refreshing. Game day with Truly Hard Seltzer. Drink what you truly want. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, drink responsibly.
All right, are y'all ready to play the debate segment known as This or That?
Before we do, I just want to compliment you on this, these topics. I think you did a good job here, Cam.
Thank you.
I agree.
Trying to get some good content out there.
I think you did a good job coming up with these. You said you came up with these by yourself?
I did, actually.
I'm actually impressed. This is a good batch of This or That topics. I'm ready to play.
Got some time on my hands, so I spent some time brainstorming. So.
What I said at the top of the show, Cam's got a lot of great talent. Why rely on the audience for topics when we can rely on Cam?
Well, thank you.
These are the best topics we've had in weeks.
Lots of ass-kissing going on right now, but we'll keep it moving. All right. All right, first topic. Which show would you rather be on, Family Feud or Price is Right?
Family Feud. I'd rather be on Family Feud. First of all, it's a family experience. You know, Price is Right, you're up there all alone with your family. You can kind of rely on each other. You can give each other encouragement. It's a good family experience. I'm a family guy. I like the bonding. Plus, you look at the hosts. I don't know about you, but I'd rather hang out with a funny comedian like Steve Harvey than Drew Carey. Fat, stubby, weird Drew Carey. Like Bob Barker, back in the day, if you could argue it then and it's prime, sure. But today, no Bob Barker. You're going to go up there and say, spin the wheel with Drew Carey. And then you got to make small talk with Drew Carey while the wheel spins when really you just want to watch and see what's happening. Family Feud is just more fun. And like when you're watching it, you're always going to stick with Family Feud longer than you would Price is Right, too. At Price is Right, you get one show. Family Feud, they're running it in a marathon. Like, it comes on every night, like, 10 times in a row. That's all my mom watches
Family Feud doesn't get the prime midday time slot, though. Like, they put Price is Right, boom, SmackDown, right before the news, though. Like, that's where we're getting the Price is
Right.
Yeah,
when
today.
All the 87-year-old women are home and need something to watch.
Or the kids that are staying home from school. Or the kids who are staying home from school.
It's catered to 87-year-old women.
Here's the thing.
Look at that Drew Carey. He's so sweet.
Do I get to talk? And sure.
Yeah, sure.
If Bob Barker was still doing this, this would be no competition.
But it's not.
I do acknowledge that Drew Carey's a step down from Bob Barker. I do.
A step down.
I do acknowledge
that's
that.
That's a fall from grace.
However, I did really love the Drew Carey show when it came on ABC, but that's neither here nor there. Shout out to Mimi. But here's what it comes down to. You can win more money on The Price is Right. You can win cooler stuff. You can win cars. You can win money. You can win a vacation. You can win both.
Not true.
It is true.
No, because Family Feud, you get to come back for the next episode.
Family Feud has a cap.
You get to come back for the next episode. If your family wins, you make the money you made there, and then you come back for the next episode. You can win multiple cars on Family Feud.
You're splitting it with five people, though.
Well, I mean, it's your family, though. Like, you decide how you're going to do everything.
Do people want to play with their families? You said you're a big family guy. I feel like that's a pretty big reach
there. I love
there.
My family, and I would like to go on Family Feud with them. It's
you
just more fun.
You split it five ways. Nothing on Family Feud is more fun, is funner than Plinko, okay?
Plinko's so overrated.
Plinko is not overrated.
It has nothing on Fast Money. Fast Money
is
that's
not
the
better
test.
Than-
Fast
Money is not better than Plinko. It's not better
you,
than the,
if
it's not
anyone,
better than the yodeling man going up the mountain where he falls off. And it's not better
so
than
stupid.
Actually spinning the wheel. Imagine spinning the wheel. You get to play
you,
longer. It's
you can't
an hour.
Use your intelligence with that. The Price is Right is for dumb people.
What do they tell you
as
when
someone,
you get on Price? What's the catchphrase when you
no,
get on Family
as someone
Feud?
Who would consider themselves smart, I would think you would appreciate the quick wit needed in Fast Money. I would think you, of all people, would appreciate that.
You only
that.
Get to play
Price
20%
right,
of the time.
Price is Right is all based on chance. You don't even know you're going to get to play when you go to Price is Right unless they call you down.
Well,
You don't even know.
I know.
You might just stay in the audience.
No,
Family Feud, you know you're going to play.
Okay, well, we're actually as if you are on the show.
Yeah, it's the truth.
You're acting as if you're on the show, and you actually stumbled into a great point for me.
How exciting
is it when it's like, Cam Black, come on down. You're the next contestant on
The
Price.
And then Cam gets to roll down there. He's like, oh, Drew Carey. Drew Carey, cool. Drew Carey.
I'm just confused.
It's really
just,
who I want to meet.
Just the amount of money you win on The Price is Right is just so much more.
Imagine how cool it would be having Steve Harvey making cracks at you.
I don't want Steve Harvey trying to kiss my mom.
And you're like,
I don't want Steve Harvey trying to kiss my mom.
I would love for Steve Harvey to kiss my mom.
You know who you don't have on Family Feud? You don't have Bob's Beauties or Carrie's Cuties. You don't have those beautiful models running around.
That's such an outdated, sexist objectification of women.
That's all Steve Harvey does as a host is objectify your mama or your aunt. That's his whole stick is trying to have sex with your family members.
He does it with your brother and your uncle.
He doesn't act like he's going to kiss your uncle and brother.
Steve Harvey is fair to everybody. Steve Harvey's a lot more fun, and you say something outlandish, you say something wild, you get to do that whole thing with Steve Harvey, and he's like, what did you say? And you get to take a little heat from him. It's just more fun. Instead of sitting there making small talk with Drew Carey, who, I mean, I can't say what I want to say about Drew Carey, but I think everybody understands. Nobody's eager to meet Drew Carey.
Imagine your
Drew
family.
Drew Carey could walk in that door right now, and I would look away.
I don't want to see Steve Harvey in his overpriced suits. I don't want to see him either. Steve Harvey's not cool.
Even if you don't consider him cool, you can't possibly argue
the
Drew Carey over
it. The money is so much different. The money is just so much bigger.
You get to keep coming back
on
Family Feud, and you get to go up against different families. And so at the end of the day, you get to be the superior family. You win five games. We've beaten five families. We're the smartest family out here.
And you're still splitting it five ways.
But it's your
family.
On the Price
is Right,
you can walk
away with $100,000 in one thing. If you show your expertise in
you can walk
guessing
away with how much?
Up to $100,000.
Or you can walk out with a blender.
You get to spin the wheel. What happens if your family loses, Cody? What happens if your family's stupid? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, if your family's stupid, they're on Price is Right sitting in the audience, and they never even get to go up.
If your family's stupid.
The Price is Right is for stupid people. Family Feud is for quick-witted and smart people. And again,
I disagree.
What would you rather play, fast money or spin a wheel and not know what you get?
I'd rather play
Would you take your brain power?
It's not even about the smart people, bro.
Yeah, it is. You got to be quick.
No, it's about whether or not you can match what the average.
Name an animal that starts with G.
Giraffe.
Yeah, so you got to be kind of quick.
Not as fun as spinning a wheel and seeing it land on one.
Oh, so close, but I hit zero.
I'll go
back home.
There's no zero on there. You get at least a monetary.
It's so overrated. That's why they play it at 11 a.m. for all the 80-year-old women at home.
When's Family Feud come on?
All day, pretty much. Yeah. It's pretty much all day long.
CBS wouldn't whore themselves out to the Game Show Network.
It was on networks back in the day.
And then everyone realized it wasn't very good.
No, it's just because the rate.
Family Feud,
I mean,
sucks,
I'll give
bro.
You the ratings because of
Family
all the
Feud
old
sucks.
Women that watch it.
You can win more money. You don't have to deal with your family messing you up. Your stupid aunt not coming through with the right answers. You don't have to deal with Steve Harvey trying to kiss your mom.
At least
the
you
Price
know,
is Right is a classic. It's an institution.
At least you know you're going to get to
what
play.
What does Family Feud do?
You don't even know you get to play on Price is Right. It's all based on chance.
Okay, well, we talked about being on the show.
Well, I'm just telling you, it's all based on chance.
How many pets? How many pets has Family Feud help?
Oh, now he's living in the past with Bob Barker.
Drew does it too.
Drew Carey does
Drew
it. Drew
does
Carey
it.
Kills dogs.
Drew does it and paying homage to Bob Barker.
Drew Carey
he
doesn't
still
do
says
anything.
At the end of every episode, make sure you spay and neuter your pets, control the pet population. The Price is Right ends every show with a good uplifting message. All Steve Harvey wants to do is pretend like he's some relationship expert and try to mack on your mom. That's it.
Drew Carey is
overpriced suit.
Drew Carey is a seal
looking
with
like
glasses.
Mr. Potato Head.
He's a seal with glasses.
He just looks like Mr. Potato Head. That's what Steve Harvey looks like.
Drew Carey's shaped more like Mr. Potato Head.
Drew Carey's lost weight. You haven't checked him out lately.
No, I haven't, because nobody watches The Price is Right anymore because Bob Barker's not there.
You just said the ratings were better.
Bob Barker's not there.
I got to go with John here. I think the aspect of your family messing you up does play a big part here. Yeah. All right, next up. We got stuck in an elevator or stuck at the top of a Ferris wheel.
I'm going Ferris wheel here simply because I want the fresh air. Being stuck in an elevator, it's a tight spot. And I understand the Ferris wheel, you can't really move around a lot. You know, you're stuck in the seat, but at least you get fresh air. In the elevator, you could be trapped in there with, imagine, are we with other people or are we just by ourselves?
You'll just be by yourself. By yourself.
So you're lonely. You can't. If you're on the Ferris wheel with other people, you can at least talk to the people down below you. You at least see other people. You don't think people have forgotten about you. It's not... maybe not dark. I don't know if the elevator has power or not. But either way, you have fresh air, and to me that's much better than being claustrophobic, stuck in an elevator that could be hot. What if it's hot and stinky? Oof. Stinky elevator. Then you pee in the elevator. Ugh, gross.
Elevator, you just, every elevator has a button, and you just push the button and the fire department comes. So I feel like you're going to get out of the elevator pretty quick. And plus, there's not the chance of falling to your death. If you're at the top of a Ferris wheel, first of all, I don't know about you guys. I'm kind of scared of heights. But if you're at the top of a Ferris wheel, sure, you got a view. Sure, you got the fresh air. There's some positives there. But you don't really know how long it's going to take for them to get you down. Are they going to be able to get it back running? You're going to have to wait on them to get the Ferris wheel back running so it'll spin around. Or what else are you going to do? You're going to climb down from a ladder? Do they have a ladder that tall if you're at the top? I would be much more worried about a carnival ride breaking than I would be a sturdy, trusty elevator. The fire department's going to come. They're going to get you out quickly. You'll be fine.
I simply want to say that you can fall your death in an elevator. It could fall down the whole shaft, and next thing you know, you've fallen 50 stories.
You saw that in a movie. That doesn't happen. You push the button, the fire department comes.
How's
it going to fall? Tell me how it's going to fall.
The cords break.
Oh, the cords break.
Have you ever seen a movie where the cords break?
Yeah, again, saw a movie. That has never happened in real life.
You're meaning to tell me an elevator's never fallen in real life. Are you willing to risk the game on this fact that you're trying to say? Are you willing to risk the fact?
I don't know that it's never
happened. Because you're on here bloviating, pontificating. It's never fun. It's just movies.
All right.
Are you willing to put the game on the line there?
If you will say, put it on the line and say no one has ever fallen from the top of a Ferris wheel and died.
I'm not going to say that.
Okay. Then
let's
just agree that the chances are very low.
I'm not over here making false claims.
The chances are very low.
If I'm stuck on the Ferris wheel, at the very least, I can communicate with the people and see the people dealing with me. The guy running the machine is down there. I can say, hey, bro.
That's the guy you want. The guy running the Ferris wheel is the guy you're putting your life. You're putting your life in his hands.
You want else? Mine
in the hands of the fire department, who, by the way, I think are heroes. I think all firemen are heroes.
The fire department's going to come save you in the Ferris wheel.
The fire department are heroes.
The ladders,
they're going to need somebody to get that thing running again, and you don't know once they get it around.
You can bring the truck. You can bring the ladder. How tall do you think Ferris wheels are? The ladder on the fire truck will go all the way up there.
They're pretty tall.
Then you really get a fireman to save
you. Well, then you got to risk.
A fireman pulls you out.
Yeah, but then you got to risk getting on the ladder. What if you fall on the ladder?
You know what else you're going
to have? Not everybody's good on a ladder.
You know what else you're going to have on the Ferris wheel that you won't have in the elevator? Your phone. Everyone knows cell phones.
Why would you not have your phone in the elevator?
Everyone knows phones don't really work that
well
in elevators.
Yes, they do. They work fine.
Phones don't really work that well in elevators.
Yes, they do.
How many times have you got in an elevator? Oh, sorry, I'm about to lose you. Getting in the elevator.
Never.
No one's ever said, hey, you're about to lose you up high in the sky.
They work fine.
Up high in the sky.
You're relying on a carny to save your life. You don't know. He's going to – look, even if the fire department –
what if the power's out?
No, listen.
What if the power's out?
Even if the fire department did come save you too, I guarantee you that carny's going to make a mistake before they get there.
No, he's not.
That carny's going to make
you're
a mistake.
You're putting down the working class people.
No, I'm not. That carny is going to see that the elevator's stuck, and he's going to start pushing buttons
elitist
trying to get it
Cody,
running again. And you might
Cody.
Fall to your death. You may fall
know,
to your death.
You don't even know if anyone's going to know you're stuck in the elevator. People get stuck in the elevator for days and days at a
time. Bro, they all have an emergency
button. Bro, not if the power goes out in the building.
They all have an emergency button.
People have been stuck in elevators for days.
You think that those emergency...
People have been stuck in elevators for days.
Again, you're relying all your information on movies. Cell phones work, first of all.
No.
You can, yes,
no.
They do.
No.
You can call on a cell phone in an elevator just as you can on a Ferris wheel. And I don't think that those emergency buttons rely on power. I think there's...
41 hours. 41 hours, that is the longest time someone has been stuck in an elevator, days.
So
days.
So literally no one has ever had the prospect of starving to death or really dying or really being in a bad situation.
41 hours, Cam, stuck in a little box with no air, no sunlight, not knowing
Again,
if anyone
he just
even
said,
knows that they hear you because you're by yourself on a Ferris wheel. You got people at least running the machine. At least down near you.
You're not necessarily by yourself on the elevator, but even if you are.
He specified that you are by yourself. I asked that. I don't even think you want to be with somebody else on the elevator because
it's just less room. So you're going to be stuck on the Ferris wheel with somebody?
Is that
what you're doing?
We said you're by yourself, but I assume.
Both parties are by themselves.
But I assume people are in the other carts. I don't think they're running a Ferris wheel just for one person. But either way.
Is that really what you want to hear? You want to hear everybody screaming and panicking?
At least you got people to talk to.
You want to hear people screaming?
At the very least, you have someone down at the bottom.
Yeah, someone I don't want running the machine. It's stuck, which means it's broke, which means I don't want that guy down there pushing a bunch of buttons. No thanks. The example he cited, 41 hours, literally,
41 hours.
Literally the worst case, that's the worst case example, and that's still not even 2 days, which means no one has ever been in an elevator so long to where they were to starve to death or any of these exaggerations you tried to put forward at the beginning of the argument.
Excuse me?
You heard what I said.
This comes from insider.com. A man died after an elevator pinned his body between floors, stuck in an elevator. The elevator just kills more people, bro.
Okay, I'll Google Ferris wheel deaths if we have to Google all these examples.
I'm just simply saying it's more dangerous.
All right, Cam, let me make my point here. Let me Google Ferris wheel deaths. Oh, since 1985, at least 12 people have been killed while assembling.
That's it.
What's your number since of people 85. That have been killed on
more people
an elevator?
On elevators than Ferris wheels.
Can you prove that? Do you have those?
If I need to, yeah.
Do you need to cite those statistics?
If I need to.
Since we have to cite everything.
Yeah, I need to.
At least 23 others injured. Collapsed under strong
incidents
winds and
involving
rain,
elevators kill
people.
About 30 people each year in the United States. So if you want to go over since 1985, that would be how many?
Well, no.
Do that math for me.
The number is higher. The number is higher. It's 12 carnival workers.
Do that number for me.
I'm telling you, the number is higher. It's 12 carnival workers.
Not going to be 30 a year.
Either way, the chances are very low.
I just gave you the stats.
This is not necessarily about being killed. It's about which would you rather be stuck on. We're not necessarily talking about whether you're getting killed or not.
I'm simply saying.
Cam, agreed. We're not talking about.
Y'all are kind of a little off track. It's
where you'd rather be stuck.
I'd rather be stuck in the more safe place.
What if the thunderstorm starts? What if a thunderstorm starts?
I'm going to guess that
you're
going to
be up in the middle of a metal enclosure in the middle of a thunderstorm.
I'm going to guess you don't get in Ferris wheels on the day of storms.
Oh,
usually
so sometimes storms don't just start. Like sometimes
check the forecast. They don't operate Ferris wheels during storms, bro.
So
they don't operate.
So it's not possible that you could get on the Ferris wheel when it's clear and not raining, and then later that day it could perhaps rain. That never happens.
Have
Good
you ever
point.
Seen the movie Devil?
Good point.
Have
that never.
Have you ever seen the movie Devil? Who do they get
hey,
the elevator
great
with?
Point by
the
him.
Devil.
Great point by him. It's never both clear and thunderstorms on the same day. That's never happened.
Carnivals don't run.
Especially in the summer. Yeah, they do. In
they
the summer, have you ever heard, summer storms are scattered. We all know about thunderstorms in the summer. They can come out of
and
nowhere.
Carnivals get canceled.
They can come out of nowhere. No, they don't. They're running all summer, and then all of a sudden a thunderstorm comes.
I've come
Happens
with facts.
All the time.
I've come with facts. You're coming
You're
with
in a precarious position. You're going to get struck by
You've
lightning.
You come with wild speculation.
He's going to get struck
I've
by
come
lightning.
With facts.
I'm just putting out the things that could happen.
And I've come with things that have happened.
Okay, enjoy getting struck by lightning.
30 deaths a year.
We're not talking about deaths.
30.
You're off track.
Per year. You want to talk about deaths till you're wrong. 30 a year.
You're off track.
30. I'm going to go with Cody here because we love our fire department, and you are out exposed to the elements in the Ferris wheel, adds a different factor.
That was a good point
I
by
like
me.
The fresh air. No, it's not. You're running out of oxygen in the elevator.
Enjoy the lightning, bro.
Enjoy being stuck there for 41
hours. At
least I'll
be dry.
Or dying.
I'll be dry.
Or dying.
People don't die when they're stuck. The longest person stuck. The longest, 30. That's not from being stuck. 30. That's not from being
enjoy
stuck.
Being stuck.
Enjoy, that's
not
from being stuck. That's from people
air.
Getting hurt or whatever.
No air.
All right. Next up, game-winning Super Bowl field goal or game-winning Masters putt? What's more stressful?
More stressful, I got to go with the putt to win the Masters. It's the biggest single sporting event for an individual. Here's the thing. Even if you're a kicker, at least in football, it's a team sport. You know what I'm saying? So even if you're the kicker and you get a lot of pressure if you miss that field goal, there's the possibility that you got a bad hold. There's the possibility that you got a bad snap. People could argue after the game that your team, your quarterback, your offense blew opportunities and you shouldn't have had to have been in that situation anyway.
You're just making
golf,
my point for
you. Are an individual.
You're making my point for me.
I'm not.
In golf, you only let yourself down and your caddy. In the Super Bowl, you'd be letting your whole entire team down and a whole entire city. What cities rally behind one golfer?
That's why there's more pressure on you as a golfer.
No, you have the pressure of the entire region that you're from
on
your shoulders.
No. You don't even understand what you...
People don't get death threats, Cam, for missing putts in the Masters. They get death threats for missing big kicks.
But it's more of a personal situation.
You have your whole entire team... That already probably
here goes
respect
Mr.
You.
Loud, Mr. I'll raise my voice to make my point because I think that helps me win just because I talk loud.
Okay, let's break it down real simple. Don't interrupt me and I won't have to raise my voice. Cam,
you interrupted me. I wasn't done talking.
You go again.
I wasn't done talking,
Cam,
but please, go ahead.
Cam, here you go. In the Super Bowl, you have a whole team, you have a whole city, you have a whole fan base on your back. In the Masters, it's just you and your caddy gets a cut. So you're costing your caddy an extra $30,000 or $40,000. You get an extra $30,000 or $40,000 on your caddy split. That's it. No teams, none of that. In the Super Bowl, it's all
you're
about
team. You're not Bernie Sanders, bro.
And here's the
you
most
can stop with the, none of that.
And here's the most – he keeps interrupting me because he knows he is just getting
demolished. No, I'm not. I didn't even make my point yet because you interrupted me.
Here's the most important thing. Here's the most important thing.
You could just say it once.
Here's the most important thing. Let me rewind it. I'll say it again.
A third time now.
Here's the most important thing.
Yeah, everybody gets it.
I rewinded what I said.
He thinks it's more emphatic if he says everything twice.
If you would quit interrupting me, I would tell you that the most important thing in the Masters, what happens if you miss a game-winning putt? What happens if you miss a game-winning putt? You want to answer that?
It affects you personally deeply.
What's the score? Let's say you're up by one stroke. You miss the putt. Guess what you can do? Two putt, extra time. Miss a game-winning field goal.
This is to win the Masters.
The putt is for the win.
Which means you're at least one stroke ahead. Which means at the very least, you're like, okay, I can get into overtime if I leave it close enough to two putt.
We don't want
to. That's how golf works in the NFL.
In
the Super Bowl, if you have a kick for the win, there's a chance you're tied, and that
if you're tied, you're going to overtime. It's the same thing.
Or there's a chance that you are down 1 or 2 points. There's a chance that you're down 1 or 2
okay,
points.
Okay, well, we
for
didn't specify the semantics of it.
We're talking about more pressure.
Can we say we're
putt?
Tied in the football game? No. That would make it even.
No, we're talking about a winning putt versus
a
winning
football.
Oh, my
God. You and your, and your nitpick, your semantics.
It's called looking at the situation.
In your scenario, you have to be up by one stroke, but in my scenario, I can be down 1.2 points, or I can be tied.
Well, if you want to argue that you're at four strokes, you can go ahead and do that because that makes pressure a lot less. I mean, you can do that if you want.
It doesn't.
You want to be up four strokes
in the putt? Let's assume you're tied, and we're both. It's the same situation.
I'm going to assume that a game-winning kick has much more
pressure.
Gary is
moving the goalpost, literally.
If you miss a game-winning field goal, that's one thing. You either, at best-case scenario, you go to overtime, but there is a chance that you are down 1 or 2 points and lose. In the Masters, chances are you're going to be up at least one stroke. You have to be for a game-winning putt. And
yeah, we all understand.
Yeah. And again,
you can you quit
with,
talking?
You combine that with the team.
We all get
individual
it.
Aspect, and there's really no argument for the Masters.
Again, Cam, my point.
Super Bowl greater than Masters. More pressure,
not
more
for
eyes.
A golfer. Not for what you feel individually.
It doesn't matter if you're for a golfer. There's more eyeballs on you. There's more pressure. The Super Bowl is the biggest American sporting event in the country.
The pressure.
It's the biggest yearly sporting event in the world. The pressure.
Think
all
about
eyes
your
are
life.
On you. 60 million people are watching you, Cam, as you line up for a Super Bowl.
Think about your life and how much pressure you've always faced individually trying to get something into a hole that big. Trying to fit something into a hole that big and how much pressure that can be on a man.
Imagine doing that.
A hole that
now
big.
Now imagine doing that with 60 million people watching. Imagine doing that if you let down.
Well, several million are watching.
If you don't succeed, imagine letting down millions of people.
I think as men.
There's no.
I think as men, we all understand you feel an insane amount of pressure trying to accurately get something into a hole that big. We've all been in that situation.
Me personally, I'm
could you let me talk?
Me personally, I'm
could,
pretty
he's
good
interrupting
at
me.
Sticking something in
that's
a hole.
That's what he does.
So I don't feel
he
very
interrupts
much pressure
me.
When I do that.
That's what he does. He interrupts me. We've all been in a situation like that
repeat
before.
It three times
and
if you
especially
want.
With millions and millions of people watching. But Cam, the greater point is what I started off with, talking about team sport versus individual sport. There's less pressure on you in football because you can blame it on other people. If you're a kicker, you could get a bad snap, like I said, or your team didn't necessarily have to put you there in the first place. If they had gotten a couple more first downs, if they had scored, if the running back hadn't fumbled, you wouldn't even be in that situation, so the pressure shouldn't even rely on you because it's a team game, whereas in golf, it's all on you. It's all on your shoulders in golf.
My last point,
football's
Cam,
a team sport. The blame is divvied.
My last point.
Why do you get to make the last point?
Because did you not make the first point? Did you not go first on the
no,
topic?
Because you interrupted me.
Did you not go first on the topic?
Me. You interrupt me halfway through my
as
points.
You're interrupting me again.
Yeah, because
you
don't have
here.
Any other points
you made
to make.
The opening argument.
You don't have any other
I'm
points.
I'm about to make my final point.
Please do. Please.
You quit interrupting me.
I can't wait to hear it. I'm sure it'll be groundbreaking.
If you quit interrupting me.
I'm sure it'll be incredible.
Just keep interrupting me. I don't even have to make a last point.
Okay, don't.
That's how much you are dominated in this.
All right, let's see who won.
That's how much you are dominated in this.
All right. So.
No, I'm going to make my last point. My last point is this. He's not going to bully me on making my last point. Yeah. What happens if you lose the Super Bowl? You lose. You're a loser. You get nothing. If you lose the Masters by a stroke, you miss this putt, you finish second. Second at the Masters
you
is
lose.
A great finish. You still lose. Make a lot of money. You're still a top five finish. You still
you're
get
the first loser.
If you lose
still
the
lost.
Super Bowl, you lose.
You still
no,
lost.
You get no second place finish. No one's throwing you a wow.
Yeah,
here,
you do get the
your,
second
here's
place
your
finish
million,
in the Super
here's
Bowl.
Here's your 15. Your 15. Your $1.5 million paycheck.
Okay, why
second.
Do they make AFC and NFC champion shirts?
That was my final point.
What, okay, so
that was my final argument.
All right,
you don't
so
get, you don't
so,
get the
so
AFC
if the Titans if the Titans
get,
had gotten to the a, if the Titans had gotten to the Super Bowl and lost, you'd still wear your AFC Championship shirt,
I'm
which is basically
buy,
second place.
I'm not going to buy the shirt after we lose the Super Bowl.
That's
you,
basically
you
second
Nimrod.
Place.
Am I going to buy the AFC Champion shirt after we
now
lost the Super Bowl?
Now he's
going to
call me names because he has no.
Are we going
to
do that? Am I going to do that? No, I'm not.
Notice
Cam,
I,
your decision.
Notice
please.
I didn't have to call you any names.
Your decision, please, Cam.
I'm going to give it to Cody here. You can blame it on other people. That's a nice thing to do. So a little less pressure there. And
I'm glad you gave it to him.
Agreed,
so
Cam. The blame is divvied.
So you can quit crying about
Cam
it.
Cam agrees. The blame is divvied instead of having it all on your shoulders.
He does take some stuff. Excuses takes pressure off. So.
That's right. Great judgment, Cam. I agree.
I'm okay with it because he would have been crying about it. So it's
and that's
fine.
What he says every week when he loses.
I understand, Cam. That you
every time you
pressure.
Lose, it's because, I would have cried about
it. Wasn't even close.
It's not that he ever just loses, honestly.
I did not.
Well, you know what? I feel the same every week. Yeah, I feel the same fine. Every week. I got screwed last week, so.
Go ask Scott Norwood.
Take your L.
Go ask Scott Norwood.
Take your L. Nobody knows who that is.
Yes, they do. Sports fans do.
No, they don't.
Cam, do you know who that is?
I do not.
Exactly.
Maybe you shouldn't be judging this after all. Maybe that's why you two are
elitist,
on the same.
Elitist sports fans know that. Not regular sports fans.
No, real
sports
fans.
Not the working men.
Okay.
Not the working men. Not the regular sports fan.
Okay.
Elitist.
Well, he's a kicker who missed the kicks for the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the Super Bowl.
Mm. Oh, well, way to make a reference that's 30 years old.
I mean, big brain.
I'm sure everybody really remembers that.
I'm guarantee you that most
Why don't you just go on the drive?
They wouldn't have known who it was.
Yeah, they would.
No, they wouldn't.
I don't know.
Sports
NFL,
brain's not
I don't know.
Big on that show.
Yeah, because they reference things from the early 90s all the time.
Biggest sports brain at the station.
Boy, since you've turned 30, you're really You're really getting up there on the boomer.
I apologize for no. I apologize.
He's chanting four more years the other day, and now he's referencing early 90s football.
I apologize.
It's time for you to go to the drive.
I apologize for knowing who Scott Norwood is.
I think it's time to go to the drive.
I apologize for knowing who that is.
Let the guys in their 20s handle this one.
Yeah.